The shelter was full, but more people kept crowding inside. Dylan recognized maybe half the faces in the shelter from among hotel guests and staff. A few others looked familiar. He guessed he had seen those people, in fact, remembered having had a dinnertime conversation with one at space training in Houston. That was another world, literally. Maria, reunited with Adriana, stood across the shelter speaking rapid-fire Spanish. At least Dylan thought it was Spanish. With so many people talking at once, it was hard to tell. Jonas, Felipe, and Lincoln were in a huddle near the entrance. They, like many of the evacuees, had blankets draped over their shoulders. Of the three, Dylan could see only Jonas's face. He looked tense. Why the hell not look tense, Dylan thought. He still shook from the long hopper ride. Jonas saw Dylan watching. "Join us," Jonas mouthed. They were smart and tech-savvy. They would understand what was going on. As Dylan edged through the crowd to stand with them, more people came in. One gave Jonas a nervous, sideways glance. Dylan flinched at a sudden loud booming. Looking toward the noise, he saw the station chief rapping on the still-open metal door. People turned, and some quieted down. More rapping and booming. The crowd gradually fell silent. "May I have your attention?" Weingart said. The station chief's hand had moved to the metal door's simple latch handle. "According to forecasts, the leading edge of the CME will reach us in 5 minutes. It's time we close ourselves into the shelter to wait it out." "Is everyone accounted for?" Jonas asked. "From Phoebe, the hotel, and PS1? "Yes," Weingart said. "Here, inside this room?" Jonas persisted. "Everyone." "Yes," Weingart repeated impatiently. "It's time we—" "Excellent," Jonas said. "My friends and I will be leaving." "I cannot allow that," Weingart said. He began pulling the door. "We'll be all right." "I'm afraid I must insist." Jonas threw off his blanket and dropped his bag. He held a gun. So did Lincoln. Felipe had a gun in each hand. At least the devices looked like guns. They had hand grips and outward-pointing metal rods. But unlike any gun Dylan had ever seen, the barrel was solid rather than hollow and was wrapped in wire coils. A metal donut, smaller in diameter than the coils, hugged the barrel at its hand grip end. A battery sat beneath the barrel. "What is this?" Weingart asked. "Whatever you have in mind, forget it. It's about to become lethal out there." "Nevertheless," Jonas said, "Felipe, give the boss his gun." One of the odd guns was shoved into Dylan's hands. At some level, he must always have known Yakov would never let him go free, for an eerie calm washed over Dylan. He could stop thinking, stop speculating what he might do or should do or could do. He could not possibly disassociate himself from whatever was about to happen. His only hope of a future lay in joining these men, a future in Russia, under the Russian equivalent of a witness protection program, even if everything worked out, but still a future. He wondered if Crystal would join him. "It's suicide to go out there," Weingart said. "A very messy suicide. The radiation won't kill you immediately, but you'll get many times a lethal dose. I can't let you go." Jonas waggled his gun. "You can't make us stay. Now back away from the door." "I don't know what kind of tinker toy gadget you have. Zap!" Weingart gaped at the red bloody hole in his thigh. For a moment he looked stupefied. Then he crumpled, collapsing in slow motion. In the sudden hush, Dylan heard the high-pitched whine of a circuit recharging. "It's called a coil gun," Jonas said conversationally. He thumbed something on the hand grip. With a click, a new metal donut emerged and settled onto the barrel. "It uses electromagnets to accelerate a metal washer. Does anyone else require a demonstration?" No one spoke. Jonas smiled. "Good. Stay inside and you might live through this." Felipe, Lincoln, Jonas, and Dylan backed out of the entrance, closing the hatch behind them.